This morning, we are checking in with regional naturalist Alex Watson from the Minnesota DNR, and Alex is joining us from beautiful downtown New Ulm. Alex, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Hello, thank you for having me on.
Something exciting going on down in the southern part of the state, and I don't know, maybe someday up north, you are introducing some genetically rare bison into a Minnesota state park. So much about that sentence demands more information. Let's start out with, what's the deal with these bison, and why are they genetically different, rare, and why are they neat?
Yes, excellent questions. And we actually started introducing bison into Minnesota state parks in 1961. So they've been actually available to view in a state park for some time now. What's changed is that only in the last 5 years have we known that our bison are, as far as science can tell us, free from any cattle genetics, which is incredibly important. We did not know, biologists did not know a mere 25 years ago what level of cattle genetics were present in the North American bison herd, which numbers about 500,000 animals. And of the testing that's been done, less than 5% of bison, and not all of them have been tested, but a good majority, a good portion have, and less than 5% are free from any effects of cattle genetics from early crossbreeding attempts to produce a better beef cattle. So what that means is that a large number of bison living in North America have traits that don't allow them to act as wild bison. For years, it wasn't known what this meant for bison, but recent research indicates that bison that do have levels, higher levels of cattle genetics are smaller, they don't grow on grass as well, and they suffer effects from drought more severely than other bison. So bison that do not have this level of cattle genetics, that have no cattle genetics known, they are as close as we can get to a pre-European settlement Minnesota bison herd. And they give us the opportunity to conserve a species that was once on the brink of extinction, once thought saved, but now may not be doing as well as biologists thought based on this new genetic information. And so the bison that we've expanded to Minneopa State Park, are part of a larger effort called the Minnesota Bison Conservation Herd, which, as far as we know, is the only publicly owned herd in Minnesota that's managed expressly for healthy genetics, no levels of detectable cattle DNA, and a healthy representation of all the remaining genes found in the bison population in North America.
Alex, when you talk about the bison being released into the park, is it a release like at Yellowstone where there are no fences and the bison can just wander, or are they actually in a fenced area?
For their own protection, they are fenced. And unfortunately, the landscape, which used to be a third of our great state, open prairie, that landscape doesn't exist. And they have to be contained within the park. So it is fenced. They have a 320-acre range, which is a very small slice of what bison used to have available to them. But we have to start somewhere. And
it is a herd of 11 animals as opposed to 1,100 animals.
That's correct. We feel that at most we can handle between 30 and 40 bison at Minneopa, based on the quality of grass we grow there. And our ultimate goal is to have at several herds throughout the state, and not necessarily at a state park, is to have 500 animals in a herd. And when we have that many, biologists tell us that we will be free from the effects of inbreeding and we'll have the best chance of keeping the unique genetic traits of our herd into the future, that we won't lose any of their diversity over time through inbreeding or small populations.
Is there concern at all about, I'm thinking, where you've got cattle or horses, where you've got hoof stock and fences, you've got fences that can go down. I guess is there concern that, geez, we have to really be careful that a fence doesn't go down someplace and cattle don't get into the park or the bison don't get into somebody's cattle?
I don't think the fence is a concern more or less for public safety reasons and disease reasons. One of Minneopa was selected among other parks because it was uniquely situated to be relatively safe from nearby cattle. So we feel that there's a low level of risk for diseases being brought in to the area. We feel that that is a concern, but it is the fencing is really there to keep the two-legged creatures, people, safe from these animals.
Bison are notoriously intolerant of people. They're just not big fans.
Well, I don't know if that's the best characterization. I think they're indifferent, and I think that indifference, that lack of fear, comes off as being passive. That they're gentle. I just don't think they care that you're there until they do care.
And then when they and they care a lot.
And then of course, even just a simple swipe of the head, that animal's so muscular. The hump on the back of an animal is not fat. It's pure muscle. So even just a swipe, a glancing blow, can be very serious injury. And so when you're viewing bison at Minneopa State Park, you're very safe in your vehicle. There's actually an opportunity to drive right through the middle of the range and have a wildlife drive experience, and you're quite safe in your vehicle. But we do ask that people remain in their vehicle just to prevent any unnecessary interactions with people and bison.
I know when I was living in North Dakota, they warned a lot about horses and bison, and there were people that were convinced that there was some kind of an ancestral memory there, and that bison were frequently aggressive toward horses and people coming in on horseback. And so they warned, you know, the horseback riders to stay away.
We do not have horseback riding at Blue Mound State Park or Minneopa, and so we've not been concerned with that. However, the only predator that bison had naturally in the state were wolves. And we do want people who hike in the park to keep their dogs on a leash to prevent their dog from running into the range. We do feel that dogs do aggravate the bison, probably for the reasons that you enumerated, that there is some memory of that animal being a predator.
I've got to ask you one last thing, Alex. We're running out of time, but I've got to know. Are there plans? First, tell me, how far north did bison range?
Well, I'm sad to say that bison occupied all of the state, and this is why I'm sad, they did not occupy your neck of the woods. Pretty much the Arrowhead region from Duluth over to Lake of the Woods is best we know from historical records and the archaeologic record, the area that bison did not inhabit in the course of history.
So our chances of trying to get a reintroduced herd up in this neck of the woods are probably not real good.
Well, it doesn't have the historic landscape to support it. Now, this isn't a 2,000-pound animal built entirely off of grass. And so places that are good for bison are places that are grow good grass.
And that would, you know, little pine trees are not quite the same thing.
Not quite the same thing. We hope that our bison will actually help improve the prairie by creating that disturbance that prairie needs to stop trees from encroaching. And we're excited to test that experiment at Minneopa, which does have quite a bit of shrub invasion. And we're hoping that those animals will help knock down those shrubs and and be a tool our resource managers use to invigorate prairie.
Alex, what a fascinating project this is and a fascinating conversation. Thank you so very much for joining us this morning. It was great to talk with you.
Thanks for helping get our message out.
Alex Watson this morning is a regional naturalist with the Minnesota DNR, and he joined us this morning from New Ulm. A rare bison herd has been released into Minneopa State Park, and they are amazing in that genetically they are free of cattle genetics. So they are 100% pure bison. Fascinating.